And there are times when people minister in song. And there's a tremendous difference. Thank our brother and sister for ministering to us in song. As I was walking to the pulpit, I thought, follow that. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I want us to read together from verse 12 through the end of verse 15. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. Only, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Bow our hearts in a moment's prayer. Our Father, we thank you this morning that we come in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we are accepted in thy presence in that beloved one. We thank you that we come this morning that we might hear what thy word would say to us. Our Father, we thank you that there are those in this meeting this morning who can take the words of that hymn. They know the reality of it. It is well with my soul. Father, we pray that for those we might see the Lord Jesus this morning in all his majesty and all his glory. Father, if there are those in this meeting who do not know that it is well with their soul this morning, we pray that you would bring them to the cross, that you would bring them to the end of themselves, and that you would bring them to Christ. We pray that your name may be glorified, that your Son might be uplifted. We ask it in his lovely name and for his glory. Amen. I want to take as a text this morning and this evening the words of verse 14. This morning we will look at what it means to glory in the cross. And this evening, God willing, we will look at what it means to be crucified. The world crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The context of the verse is again the context of false teaching. The Judaizers had come in and they said, you must keep the law. You must go through this physical circumcision so that the Jews and the Gentiles can be one. The Apostle Paul says the reason they tell you that is because they're afraid to be persecuted for the cross. He says, they don't fool me. I know what the background of their teaching is. He says in verse 12, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. And what Paul is saying is, believer, what these false teachers are telling you is that you go through their ceremony, you keep their rules, and you will have something to glory in. In your heart and in the presence of God. And his comparison is this, they say, and I. For he says, God forbid that I should glory. He says their purpose is to make a fair show in the flesh. That people would look at them and would give them glory for their piety, for their religious activity, for all the good things that can be said about them. The apostle says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does he mean by the cross? Does he mean the actual wood of the cross? No, he doesn't. He means the cross work of Christ. You see, when he's speaking about the cross, he says this, by whom? Now, you don't speak about a piece of wood as being whom. You speak about a person as being whom. So it's not the physical cross. And it's not even the act of crucifixion that he's talking about. It's the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul says, look, they can glory in whatever they want. But God, please never allow it to be that I should glory in anything but the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn back with me to, or turn over with me to Philippians chapter 3. Paul is dealing again with those who want to boast in the flesh, who want to have confidence in the flesh, want to have confidence in their own works. And he says in Philippians chapter 3 in verse 3, for we are the circumcision of God, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I don't know whether it's in the mind of the apostle, but he's saying, I've been where they are. They have nothing that I haven't had. In fact, he says, all their works of the law, all their tradition of Israel, all their Jewish ancestry, everything that they could boast, he says, I can go one better than all of them. I can go one better than all of them. But he said, I count it all but lost. He said, actually, not just that I've had what they have. I've had what they're teaching. He says, I gave it all away. He says, I didn't want it. You know why he didn't want it? Because it was absolutely useless when it came to making him right with God. He says, I counted it but loss. And he says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. You know, I emphasize that to you this morning because sometimes Satan says, don't you think your good works are just a little part of salvation? Don't you think they have just some importance before God? And you know the answer, beloved, the day you got saved, the answer was no. My good works have nothing to do with salvation. And it doesn't matter how long you've been saved, whether you've been saved 5 days or 50 years, you can still say, my good works are absolutely nothing to do with the fact that I'm saved. Not one of them endears me to God. The only thing that endears me to God is Christ and the fact that I am found in Him. So we need to understand the comparison. And we want to look this morning at why the apostle said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing I want to say to you about it is this. The cross is the measure of man's depravity and guilt before God. The cross is the measure of man's depravity and guilt before God. Turn back with me to the book of Acts in chapter 3. I want to show you this in two different ways. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 13, the apostle Peter is preaching, and he said, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. What's Peter saying? Peter's saying the depravity of man is seen in the rejection of God's Son. You denied who He is. You delivered Him to be crucified. You desired a murderer in His place. And then He said, you killed the Prince of Life. I remember a preacher suggesting that the hill Golgotha is called the place of a skull. And the skull is the seat of man's intelligence and wisdom. And the height of man's intelligence and wisdom was to take God's Son and to nail him to a cross. And you know, I've got news for you. If Jesus Christ was born today in Bethlehem of Judea, they would still nail him to a cross. Ah, you say, preacher, we're different now. No, we're not. No, we're not. We would still cry the cry of those who crucified the Christ. We will not have this man to reign over us. Do you know how we know that? Because they reject the gospel of Christ for the very same reason they reject Christ. They will not have the crucified one to reign over them. And it reminds us of how deep and how awful is the depravity, the sinfulness of the human heart. And Paul gloried in the cross, not only because it was a measure of the depravity and guilt of mankind, but because it was God's way of dealing with man's depravity and with man's guilt. Paul knew that there was no other way for sins to be forgiven. My sins, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sins, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear them no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It is well, and the only way it could ever be well with one soul of man was through the cross. Through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son. Let me speak to you for a moment about a very common teaching in the world today. Sin is a sickness. If you take a man who's a sinner and you change his environment, and you care for him with great care, you'll change him. You know that's not true. You know that's not true. You see, sin isn't a sickness. Sin is death in the presence of the God of heaven. Let me tell you what I think is a humorous story. There were slums in a certain area of Belfast. And the government decided that what they would do was they would go just outside the city and they would build these huge housing developments. And they would move these poor people who had lived in the slums all their lives, and they would move them into these beautiful developments, and it would change them. How long does it take to make a beautiful development a slum? Just as long as it takes to move people in. I have a friend who delivered coal. And this is a true story. It was November, and he knocked on the door of a house and he said, your coal bunker's locked. of 2 bags of coal that you ordered. Oh, she said, we don't want it in the coal bunker. Just bring it in and put it in the bath. Then we won't have to go out in the cold. But he said, if I put it in the bath, you'll not be able to use the bath. And he thought, well, we never used it anyway. That's the truth. And the new housing developments that were going to be so changing upon the nature of people, you wouldn't live there today if they paid you to live there. Because they're worse than the slums ever were. In fact, one politician humorously said, we're going to pull down the new housing developments and build slums. Why? Because man's nature has never changed. And man would still crucify the Christ of God. They would still nail him to a cross. But I want to take it one step further than that. I used to think, you see, that if I had been there, I would have said, no. Don't do that. You're making a mistake. Peter, lend me that sword. I'll make sure they don't crucify him. You know, as I study the Word of God, I find that my heart is no different than theirs. And I would have been crying at the top of my voice, crucify him. Crucify him. Because the alternative to crucifying him is for him to rule in my life. And I won't have this man to rule over me. The Apostle Paul says, listen, I glory in the cross because it's the measure of the depravity, not only of the hearts of men and women, but it's the measure of the depravity of my own heart. The Apostle Paul says, of sinners of whom I am chief. I remember Stan Ford thumping his chest and saying, and when I get to heaven, I'm going to challenge Paul. Because I'm every bit as much a sinner as he was. And it's true. But not only is the cross the measure of man's depravity, the cross is the manifestation of God's love and mercy. You see, man doesn't like it, but God ordained Calvary. It wasn't that Judas and the Jewish leaders got together and said, look, this is what we're going to do. They did that. We're going to capture this man. We're going to put him through a trial. And we're going to take him out and we're going to nail him to a cross. And we're going to be rid of him. They did that. That's what the depravity of man did. Do you know what Jesus said about Judas? He says, the Son of Man goeth forth as was ordained. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. You know what that means? It means that God ordained the crucifixion of his Son. You turn back with me to Acts chapter 2. And you read in verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. You know, I love that. I went and sat with an old preacher who had preached for 50, 60 years. And I said to him, Mr. Alexander, If you could just share with me one word of wisdom, what would you share with me? He said, Joe, the greatest truth I have ever learned is that this world was created for Calvary. Think about it. This world was created for the cross. He said, when God created this world, man's rebellion was inevitable, and it made the cross inevitable. Because God is a God of love, and God is a God of mercy. You know, we get it into our heads sometimes that God sent His Son and things got out of control. Man's anger rose up and poor God lost control of the situation, and they took Jesus by force and they took Him out and they crucified Him. Jesus says in John's Gospel, chapter 10, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life for the sheep. No man taketh it from me. Tell me, do you believe that this morning? They came into the garden where He prayed. And He looked at them and He said, whom seek ye? And they said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. And He said, I am. What happened? They fell backwards on the ground. Why? Because they could have no power against Him unless He allowed them to. None. He sat in Pilate's judgment hall, and Pilate looked at Him in frustration, and he says, don't you understand that I have power to crucify you and I have power to release you? And Jesus turned to Pilate and He said, you could have no power against me at all, except it were given thee from above. No man taketh it from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. My, what a Savior. The willingness of the Christ of God to go to the cross. No wonder the Apostle Paul could say, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. God loved sinners. God loved me before the foundation of the world. And God ordained Calvary before the foundation of the world. Not only is the cross the manifestation of God's love and mercy, the cross is God's only means of salvation. I love the hymn that says, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open and you may go in. At Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. I had a friend who went to Israel. He stood and he looked up at Golgotha's hill, the shape of a skull. And another friend turned to him and said, isn't it a wonderful sight? And he said, you know, I've seen it before. One night I got down on my knees in my bedroom in Belfast, and I came to the cross. and I trusted the Savior. He says it doesn't look any better in real life than it looked that night I met Jesus at the cross. The Apostle Paul, when he's talking about the cross, he talks about propitiation. You know, they have such a hard job translating those words. It means mercy seat. It means the place where a holy God meets sinners and gives them mercy in the person of His Son through the death of His Son. The cross is God's only means of salvation. Why must we glory in nothing but the cross? Well, I want to suggest to you this morning that to glory in anything other than the cross is to offend God. Whether we glory in preaching, or in meetings, or in service, or in numbers, or anything else, we offend God. We offend God. Why? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1 verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Have you got that? That's the gospel. That no flesh should glory in His presence. He says the only thing God permits you to glory in is the cross through which you were brought to Christ. But then he goes further. And I always find this verse hard to read because it doesn't seem to make good English. But when you understand it, it really does. Listen to what it says. But of Him are ye in Christ. Why am I in Christ? God did it. You got it? But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Listen, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in his own works. No. In his own abilities. No. In his own faith. No. Let him glory in the Lord. In the Lord. To glory in anything but the cross of Christ offends God, because to glory in anything but the cross of Christ means you have to reject God's purpose in the cross of Christ. And if you reject God's purpose in the cross of Christ, you cannot be saved. To glory in anything other than the cross of Christ, you've got to reject not only God's purpose in the cross, but you've got to reject God's mercy. You know, the writer to the Hebrews uses a very strange phrase. He says, who have trampled underfoot the blood of Christ. You know, that's what you've got to do to go to hell. That's what you've got to do to go to hell. You've got to trample underfoot the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross so that you could be saved. You've got to reject the mercy that God holds out in Christ. Lastly, let me say this to you. You've got to reject the principle of grace by faith. You see, if you glory in anything other than the cross, you say, God, I don't need your mercy. I don't need your grace. I will never be saved by believing in your Son. And the principle of grace. What is the principle of grace? For by grace are ye saved through faith. It is the gift of God, and not of yourselves. Better not leave that out. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Two of our hymns this morning were about that day when we're going to see Jesus face to face. When we're going to be in heaven's glory with the Lord. And the only people who are going to be in heaven's glory with the Lord are those whose only boast, whose only glory is in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You go over into the book of Revelation and you listen to the song that those in heaven are singing. Listen to the words. You are worthy, for you were slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. That's the song of the redeemed in heaven. You ask any one of them, why are you here? Because of the blood of the Lamb that was slain. Because he redeemed me by his blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Isn't that wonderful? The occupants of heaven from every nation and tribe and tongue of the world were brought by God to glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, down here we know that that's what we're depending on. And when we get up there, we'll sing about the fact that we weren't disappointed. It worked. But what about you this morning? You're in a fundamentalist evangelical church. You're hearing the word of God about the cross of Jesus Christ. Is that what you're trusting in? Is that the only thing you have for heaven? It's the only thing I have. Outside of the cross of Christ, I have no hope. But you're a good person, preacher. No, I'm not. I'm a sinner. But you're a preacher, whether you're a good person or not. I'm a sinner. The only hope I have of heaven is the cross. The cross. The absolute confidence of my heart is this, that the cross of Christ was sufficient for all my sins. The cross of Christ paid all my debt. What about you this morning? Is that where your dependence is? The hymn writer wrote this: "My soul has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me to plead." You're ever going to be in heaven, it's going to be because you've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And when you've been redeemed by the blood of Christ, you can stand shoulder to shoulder with the apostle and you can say, "God, please don't ever let me make the mistake of glorifying or glorying in anything else other than the cross. The fact that your Son died on a cross for me." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I pray this morning that You would write upon our hearts the glory of the cross. Only by Your Spirit can we ever comprehend that Your Son died on that cross for us. Only by Your Spirit can we ever come to trust in the blood of the cross for the forgiveness of all our sins. Father, if there's one in this meeting today who does not know the Savior personally, does not have this confidence for time, this confidence for eternity, that even today You would bring them to Christ, that they may see that He is the only Savior of sinners, the only Savior of the lost. Bring them to faith in His blood, that they may be saved for time and for eternity. We ask it in Jesus' name, giving thanks for the wonders of Your grace and of Your mercy and love revealed to us in Christ. Amen.